ourselves to you, Father, right here and now. Father, we know we're going to take in some of your word this morning, and I pray that you use it to bring hope and life unto us, Lord, that your word shows us how great a value that we are unto you, Father, and that you yourself have made us that way, Lord. We're looking forward and pressing into you, Father, with everything we are this morning. For you are the great one. You're the one that we love and adore and worship, Lord. We know that you will show and pour yourself into us this morning if we're listening as we open ourselves up to you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as the world sometimes does that to people, it begins to get you to struggle. Even strong Christians at times will struggle a little bit, maybe get into a little bit of doubt, kind of starting to wonder if God is paying attention to what's going on in your life, okay? Because there's things. Sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we're pressing in, and it just seems like, you know, this should be so easy for God. How come he's just not doing it? How come it's just not happening? And so we start to wonder if God is really paying attention to what's going on. But I'm telling you that God leaves absolutely no doubt about the tremendous value that he places on human life and on your life in particular. Okay, God has done a lot to show us that in the Word. And I want to show you this morning, I have 7 points to be able to show that, to prove to you, right from God's own Word. You know, His Word goes forth and it accomplishes what He pleases. It will not return unto Him void. It accomplishes that which He pleases. God is going to make sure that this Word does what He says it will do. Okay, the first point I want to make is that your value begins with the fact that you are made by the hand of the Creator. And you're made in His very image. Okay? God has made you. Okay? God has made you from the very foundation and even before that. When you're in your mother's womb, He knew you and began a relationship with you. Okay, let's look at a scripture in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. He said, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Okay, being made in the image of God means that you're valuable right from the start. Okay, in fact, before you were even born, okay, in your mother's womb, God knew you and began this relationship with you. I don't know if you guys notice anything about your kids. I noticed something about mine. Our first son, Elijah, we did a ton of reading to, and we read Bible stories, we read, you know, whatever, Thomas the Choo Choo Train, all that stuff, even while he's still in the womb yet. We're reading these little books, and I have a picture my wife took, I guess 12 and a half years ago, that shows me sitting with my son Elijah on my lap, and I'm reading the newspaper after work, and my son is sitting there, and I'm reading it to him. It was just something that we did on a regular basis. We read to him. Okay, my son Isaac was more music. It was more of the worship, and it was just at a time in life where we just had more of that in our life. And so more than reading to him, we listened to worship and music with him. And I suppose I was in the drums and all that. And so playing music, I had my guitar at home and would play that around him. Well, as they've gotten older now, I can look at Elijah and I tell you, the kid is getting quite expensive because we're having to buy books all the time. The kid loves to read. Constantly loves to read. He's got a little Kindle, and you know, we're going on a trip, and Dad, can I, you know, download 18 books for this trip? It's gonna, you know, you don't need 18 books. Dad, it's 8.5 hours there. Of course I'm gonna need 18 books. And he would, and he does. He reads that many books. You give him buy him a brand new book, it'll be an inch thick, and hand it to him, and the next day he says, Dad, can I get a new book? I'm done with that one. And it's just the way that he likes to take in stuff, and he reads fast, and can recall a lot. Isaac, on the other hand, is one of those guys that, you know, in his life, he loves music right now. He thinks he wants to be a professional, either a professional football player or a professional rapper, a Christian rapper, okay? And I don't know which one is better, but either one will set us up for retirement, right? So we're thinking either one will be good. But he loves music, and he knows songs, and, you know, he's got his little earbuds now, and he can listen to songs, and then pretty soon you'll just hear him in the backseat just rapping out a song or singing or whatever, and he's paying attention, and he has always been that way. So I think it was something that relationship with me and my sons, or us and our sons, began in the womb. And God did that with you. Okay, where he began a relationship with you in the womb because you're that valuable to him. He began to shape you and to kind of point you in a direction even at that time. He began that with you. Okay, you're valuable right from the very start because God does not make mistakes. Okay, God is perfect in all of his ways. We didn't sing that song today, but we know Chris Tomlin has a great song about the love. Jesus loves you, I think, and it's God is you're perfect in all your ways. Okay, and God does not make mistakes. And so he made you exactly the way that he wanted you. Okay, he doesn't make junk. He made you special. He made you unique. He made you you. And he made you to shine and to bring glory to his name exactly as you are. Okay, God said, this is how I want this person to be. And he begins to shape us from our womb on up. Okay, number two, the second point, you need to know this. That God made you in such a way that he will never, ever forget you. Okay, God is not going to forget about you. We know the scripture, we quote it all the time, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, that doesn't say he wouldn't forget you. So I'm going to remind you this morning that God will not forget you either. He made you so precious, so special to him, that he will never, ever forget you. Listen to what he says to you in Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49:15. He says, can a woman forget her suckling child or a nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Let her read this. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee, God says. Okay? Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, and yet I will not forget you. Now we've all heard the horrifying stories of the mom that goes off to work and forgets the baby's in the back seat and goes off to work for 4 hours. They come out at lunchtime, the baby is, you know, screaming, starving, hungry, or whatever the story may be. It doesn't happen very often. Okay, those kind of things don't happen very often. A mom is—it's hard for a mom to forget a nursing child. Okay, and in most cases, a nursing child is going to alert you if you do try to forget about them. Okay, and they're going to let you know, hey, don't forget about me. I need something to eat here. I need a diaper change. Whatever it is. Okay, so it is even less often and harder for a nursing mom to forget about her child. Okay, and yet God says that they may be able to forget, but he will not. He will not forget about you. He will not miss anything that is going on in your life. Even if you've gone through stuff, you've been forsaken by family or friends or people around you, you are always cherished in the heart of God. Okay, there's nothing that you've ever done that God says, oh man, that's the last straw. Okay, can't deal with that one anymore. God does not do that. He does not try to forget about you. You have anybody in your life you try to forget about? Sometimes people that have hurt you, people that have done you wrong or whatever, you forgive them. You know what? If they're around you, you're going to love them anyway. You love those that despitefully use you or whatever it may be. But at times, we often find ourselves trying to forget about them. Okay, God does not do that with you. No matter how many times you've done something wrong or against or whatever, he does not say that, you know what? This one's too much for me. I'm going to try to block them out. You are precious to God. Okay? And he sent Jesus, you're so precious, that he sent Jesus to come and get you. Okay? He sent Jesus to come and to draw you unto him and say, this one is mine. I want this one in my kingdom. That's what God did with Jesus and you. You're worthy of all that Jesus needed to do and all that he went through. He saw that as a worthy cause to come and get you. Okay? That's the way God sees you. Even as Isaiah was describing the thoughts about Jesus' thoughts as he was thinking about what he was going to endure on our behalf and going to the cross and being beaten and mocked and scourged and all those things that he had to endure for us. As he was thinking about that, Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 53:11 and says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Okay, this is Jesus saying he shall see the travail of his soul. Everything that he's going to go through, he shall see what he did and what he went through, and he's still going to be satisfied. He is going to say, it was worth it. You were worth it. Okay, that's Jesus. He's not disappointed in you. Okay, he is not sorry that he came to save you. He is not upset. He's not looking down on you in any way. You to Jesus are like his very own child. Okay, like the nursing mother who doesn't forget their child, God won't forget you. Jesus looks at you and says, this is one of mine. He is one of my very own. He simply wants the best for you. So even if you may make some mistakes along the way, he still loves you anyway. Okay, he's going to encourage you to go that right route, to readjust, to make that adjustment in your course and get on track with him. Okay, so know that he loves you so much and he will not forget about you. Number three, the third point, know that God's thoughts towards you are good and that he has great plans for you. Okay, it's in his word, Jeremiah 29:11. He says, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end or a hope and a future. Okay, Jeremiah 29:11. Okay, that's the way God looks at you. He doesn't look at you and think, oh, here we go again. They're on the wrong track. He doesn't get frustrated with you and give up on you like some people in this world may do. Okay, he knows where you are right now, and he knows where he wants to bring you. He has an expected end. He has an end that is good for you, a hopeful end. Okay, and that's where he wants to lead you down that right path. He knows the plans that he has for you, and they're not plans to harm you or to do evil unto you. They are plans to give you hope and a future, a good and peaceful end. Okay. Number four, God loves you so much that he has made you right with him so that he could bless you. Okay. Now, this is going to take out some of the works mentality and performance of Christianity, because if we have to earn it from God, we're missing it. Okay, if we struggle and strive and I got to be better, do better in order to get God to bless me, we have stepped aside from God's loving grace. It began to work under that old covenant law mentality that says, you do this, then you'll get the blessing. And if you don't do this, you're going to get the curse. We step away from that by entering into the new covenant of grace that says, God loves me and it's based on him and not what I do. Not based on you and your performance. God loves you so much, number four, that he has made you right with him so that he can bless you. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, that's where we'll start. Ephesians 2, 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened or made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you are saved. And he has raised us up together and has made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, that's now, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Okay, I love the way the Amplified Bible puts this. Ephesians 2:4 in the Amplified says, but God, being so very rich in mercy, because of his great and wonderful love with which he loved us, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sins, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ, for by his grace, his undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. And he raised us up together with him when we believed. Okay, put that into your heart and keep it there. Because God did a work when you believed in your life that made you worthy of all that he wanted to give you. Okay, he seated us with him in the heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. And he did this so that in the ages to come, that's now, that he might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus by providing for our redemption. God wanted to bless you, so he made you blessable when you believed on him. Okay? Now, we know that there's a process of sanctification. These things happen as we give our life to Christ, we believe on Him, then we begin to live out more and more of that Christ-likeness starts to come through our life. But at that moment, you became blessable. At that moment, you became seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. At that moment, you became ready, saved from God's judgment, and ready for His grace and undeserved favor and mercy to be poured out on you. He sent Jesus simply so that you could believe on Him and be wrapped in that robe of righteousness that He provided for you. It was His effort, Jesus' effort, that made you worthy. Okay, and that's why we worship Jesus, right? It's not of our own doing. We know that. We realize that. That's why we worship how great our God is. That's how we worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, the Son of God. We adore Him because He did what we could not do. He lived that life and made us perfect, giving us that robe of righteousness so that we are now blessable. Okay, He made you worthy of all of His time and all of His effort and all of His love. Jesus made you worthy to receive that. So with all the things that God is responsible for, why else would He take the time for you and your requests? Why else would He listen to you if you still needed to make yourself worthy or do something? Why else would He answer your prayer for provision if Jesus had not already made you worthy to receive of that? Okay? And that's number five, that God loves you so much that He does not want you to have to sweat the small stuff. Okay? Now hear this out, because it's going to take faith to grab this one. Okay? God loves you so much that He does not want you to sweat the small stuff. Okay? He wants you to be able to move on beyond that, to engage in another level of faith, a little bit deeper level of faith. That's what He wants you to be able to walk in. Listen to His word for you in Matthew chapter 6. Okay, Matthew 6:25. Jesus, it's in red in my Bible. He says, "Therefore I speak unto you, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. For is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls are the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns." They don't work for it, in other words. "And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Who can make yourself taller by worrying about it? Okay. "And why take ye thought for the raiment or for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." They don't have to show off for God. "And yet I say unto you," verse 29, he says, "that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." Okay? God cares about you so much that He wants you to know by faith that He will provide for you in your basic needs so that you can go on with your life without being stressed out about those things. Okay? God wants you to be able to move beyond, okay, where's my next meal coming from? So that you can be more focused and walk by faith in greater things than that. Okay? You can move on then to praying for the salvation of your friend or your loved one instead of focusing on whether or not you'll get this need met or that need met. Okay? Now, many of you are already walking in this much faith, right? You're already not overly concerned about where your next meal is going to come from, right? We live in that. Most of you probably aren't too concerned about your lunch right now, okay? You probably moved on to the bigger issues in life, and those are the issues then that begin to get you to question and wonder if God is really paying attention to your life. Okay, yeah, I've got food for the next meal that I have, but what about rent at the end of the month? What about this bill or that? What about What about the health issues? Or what about these other things that are going on? God has provided and wants you to get this, that you are already walking by faith when you already live in a way that you're not so conscious about the immediate need, and you begin to look beyond that. You're walking in a level of faith. Okay? Does he really know and understand exactly what you're going through, though? That's what we begin to question, is does he realize I've got to, you know, make this bill, and, you know, do we realize we got to pay for this kid's school, or these things are coming up? Does God know all that? And the answer is yes, he does. He's saying don't sweat the small stuff, and get to that point where you don't sweat the bigger stuff either. He's leading us in that direction, and he gives us this very good example of, hey, your basic needs are already taken care of, just put the rest of them into that same category. Okay? Begin to say, you know what, God, you can provide all my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus, because that's what your word says. And if it's all my needs, then it means that need that's a month from now, that need that's 6 months from now, that need that is wherever and whenever it is. Okay, the reality is, you start to wonder if God knows what's going on in your life, and that's number six. God loves you so much that he continually and continuously pays attention to the minute details of your life. God does not miss a click. He does not miss one tiny thing that happens in your life. Okay? Things change so often in your life, and it changes so fast that it seems like it'd be hard for God to keep up with the 8 billion people on the planet, along with all the other things besides just people, right? He's got, you know, we went to Pier and they had the Oahe Dam there. It's a great big dam. God has to pay attention to that too to make sure it's not cracked and falling apart, right? God is taking care of a whole lot of things, and yet you are so valuable to God. He sees you as so precious to him that he even knows how many hairs are on your head every moment of every day. Okay? And that changes from day to day to day. My sister was a hairstylist. She said they taught her in school it was 100 hairs a day on average somebody loses, and they regrow and you just keep gaining, right? Okay? God can keep track of how many hairs on your head today. If you asked him, he could tell you an exact number. And then he'd say, oh, nope, now it's down to 4,273. Okay? Okay? He would know exactly how many it is. Luke chapter 12, verse 7. Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. It says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Okay, yesterday, when we went on our, we were coming back from our trip in South Dakota, and we stopped in Casper to get something to eat, and I noticed a little sparrow hopping down the sidewalk at the edge of the parking lot. And it just, it caused me to stop and to ponder on that sparrow just for a minute, because God knows that sparrow, okay? That sparrow is known by God, okay? God designed it to do and to be who it is and to do what it does. God created it, okay? God provides for it. And even when that sparrow passes, God will be there right with it. Okay, that sparrow is that important and that precious to God that he has done all that and is there at the end with it as well. Okay, he never forgets about it. And we never ever want to give in to that lie that the devil will try to put on you to tell you that you are not valuable enough to God, that you're not worthy enough for him to pay attention to your life. Because God knows you, he created you, he designed you, he's with you all the way to the end, okay? He is never going to leave you nor forsake you. He is paying intimate attention to your life. Under this new covenant of grace, we know that everything that he has done up to this point, all the protection, the provision, the leading us, everything that he has done and everything that he will do in your life is done out of a pure love and is not based on your performance. Okay, it is pure love that God sent his only begotten son into the world. It is pure love of God that makes that happen. Okay, and that's number 7. God loves you so much that He loves you and blesses you in spite of your behavior. Okay? Remember that? When you believed, you became right with God. When you believed, you became blessable. And so even today, it is He loves on you and blesses you in spite of your behavior. He is not waiting for you to fix something before He'll bless you with it. Okay? He is not waiting for you to get your life all straightened out, okay, and then He'll be able to bless you. Okay? That's a it's a deep-rooted mentality in Christians today that even though I'm saved, I still got to do good and be better, otherwise God won't bless me. Okay? That's an old mentality. It comes from the old covenant. Okay, that mentality was ingrained for thousands of years, and then in churches today, they're still teaching a mixture of that law and grace, and it still brings in that it's based on you and your performance. It's based on you and how you act in order for you to be blessed or loved on by God. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5, 8. Says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, the love, the Creator of life loves us so intensely that He allowed His Son to die in our place even before we repented. Okay? He didn't wait, you know, it's not every day that Jesus comes and dies on the cross. Okay? He didn't wait for that. He died on the cross anticipating that you would believe on Him. Before you were even a repented believer, while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Okay, Titus says it very well in Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, 4, he says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I like the way the English Standard Version says this. It says, But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ our Savior. It is not because of what we do that God blesses us. It is because of what Jesus did that He blesses us. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Again, I'll go back to Romans 8. 32. He said, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? It was meant that it was all going to be based on Jesus and whether or not He made it, whether He was worthy and pure, and then our faith in Him that wraps us in that robe of righteousness then makes us worthy as well. See, it was His choice. It was God's choice whether He blesses you or not. It's up to God, right? Anybody agree with that? If God wants to bless you, He can bless you. Well, guess what? He made His decision already. Okay? He decided that they that believe on His Son will be blessed. Okay? That was the precursor. That's the thing you have to do, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you've done that, then you enter into that realm where you are of the blessable, right? You're that in that place where you can be blessed. Last week we talked about the trial of your faith. We saw that the Apostle Paul said that your faith and the trial of your faith and the faith itself becomes more precious than that of gold. Okay? Because it is by faith that you will believe these things that I'm telling you today. It is by faith that you believe the promises of God in His Word. You're believing on a God that you have not probably seen with your eyes. Most of you have probably not heard Him audibly speak into your ear. You're believing by faith. And it's by faith that you understand that you are of the blessable. You're in that realm because you have put your faith and trust in Jesus. Okay? But know this. When you begin to doubt, okay? And you start doubting God's love for you. If you start to doubt that, man, I just don't think I'm worthy today. I just don't feel right today. I, you know, messed up so bad yesterday. Really made a mess of things. And we get to that point where you start struggling with unworthiness. Okay? Do not get down on yourself at that moment. Okay? Because I'm telling you, you don't have to get down on yourself when those thoughts of unworthiness come across your mind. You're not going to want to dwell on them. You're not going to want to stay there and think, oh man, I'm just a loser, and go off with life thinking that. But you don't have to condemn yourself for struggling in your mind on occasion. You don't want to let those thoughts take hold on you and hold you back from expecting God or even asking God to bless you. Okay? Here's what happens. The Christians that have been ingrained into the law mentality for so many years, they have it on them that it's up to me. If I don't do right, I'm not going to be able to get I'm not in an appropriate place to receive from God. And what happens is they quit asking God. Okay? They don't feel worthy to ask God. Why would God bless me? I'm just a nobody. I'm just a loser. I'm still a sinner, they think in their mind. And they begin to get to that point where they quit asking God. They quit going to Him. Okay? They don't want to go to Him to be healed or to be provided for, and they feel like that God doesn't want to provide for me, somebody like me. And they've taken on that mentality of the enemy and let the devil run them down that wrong road. I want to tell you that even John the Baptist struggled with feelings of unworthiness. Remember, he said, I'm not even worthy to unlash the shoes of his feet. Okay? He told all of us that. That's John the Baptist, the guy that was out baptizing people in a river, believing that they needed to get right with God and telling them and preaching the way it was. And yet even that guy said it at one time, that even I'm not worthy. He didn't even see himself as being worthy. The centurion, you guys remember, he comes to Jesus and his servant was sick, and he goes to Jesus and says, Lord, I want you to heal my servant. And Jesus says, let's go to your house. And he says, oh no, I'm not even worthy that you should come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant shall be healed. Okay, the prodigal son is another good example. He went off and he blew it, right? He ran away. He squandered everything that his father had given him, all his inheritance. And when he finally comes back to his father, his impression was that he was no longer worthy to even be called a son by his own father. Okay, he didn't believe that he should ever receive anything else from his father ever. Okay? And yet the father didn't see it that way. Okay? The father just wanted his son to come to him. And that's what his son eventually did. And the father just loved on him. And that's what your father in heaven wants from you. At those moments when you feel like you're not worthy, go to your father anyway. That's what he wants from you. He wants you to come unto him. Okay? Jesus will prove to you that you are worthy of his love and of his blessings too. Okay, but we don't want to resist him with carrying on those thoughts of unworthiness to make us think we're not even valuable enough to go to God. Okay, to go and to ask anything of God. That prodigal son could have avoided coming home to his father and not received any of that blessing that his father was still longing to give him. Okay, the centurion could have not gone to Jesus and asked him if he would heal his son. Okay, remember, he felt unworthy, but he went to him anyway. Okay, he could have never received that help from Jesus that he truly needed and wanted, but he humbled himself enough to go and at least ask, to at least go to Jesus. Okay, and that's what God is wanting from you. He just says, just come to me. Bring your thoughts, your needs, bring your all who you are and what you're feeling right now. Just come to me, and Jesus will show you that he loves on you anyway. Okay, he loves you so much that he will continue to pour himself out on you. He is the one that made you worthy, so he wants you to come to him so that then he can just shine upon you and shine through you and through your life. Okay, don't be afraid to go to God. Don't be afraid to approach him with what's going on in your life. God is right there. He's just willing and waiting. He's got his arms stretched out saying, come on, just come back to me. Just come to me. That's all I've ever wanted, is for you to come to me. That's all he wanted in the beginning. That's how you got saved. And that's how you live this life. So when the devil starts throwing stuff at you and you trip or you stumble or whatever, brush it off to the side and say, I'm sorry about that, Lord, but I'm coming to you anyway. And God will just receive you and say, come on, let's get her done. Let's move to the next step in life. Let's go forward. Okay, and move ahead with what God is wanting to do in your life. Okay, let him shine upon you and shine through your life. So, Father God, we're praising you this morning. We know that your power is so great and awesome in our life, Lord, that you had a plan through Jesus to make us right with you, Lord. And from that plan, when we believe and receive, we now live in that plan, Lord. We are the blessable. We are the ones that have been made right with God through Jesus by faith in him. He is the one that did the work. He did all the performing that needed to be done. He did everything to make us right with you, that we now are in a position to receive from you. So, Father, we come before you, and I ask on behalf of the people even in this room or anybody watching, that, Father, we come to you and ask, Lord, for needs to be met, for love to be poured out, for your power to be manifest in our life, for you to do what needs to be done in our health, our finances, our relationships, every area of our life. Touch it, Father, and do something in our life that shows us how worthy you have made us and how blessable we are now as a believer and a child of the Most High God. Father, we trust you. We're leaning on you. We're hand in hand with you. We know that you never leave us nor forsake us. You never forget about us. You never miss a click that goes on in our life, Lord. And today, we lay it down before you, humbly coming to you and say, Father, just pour it out upon us and reveal yourself. So powerful, so true, so loving, so kind and generous. Father, we're awesome in your presence. We thank you for it. We give you the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.